Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards are on hand for the next 30 minutes. With Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Dick.
What is it, Joan?
I just don't know how to tell Jimmy. I mean, I think he's an awfully sweet person, but when it comes to romance, well, let's be frank. Yeah. Jimmy hasn't got the sort of face that goes with soft music and candlelight.
Oh, quite, Joan. It's dangerous to put that face anywhere near a lighted candle. So that evening he took you out was a bit of a trial, eh?
No, no, but it was just... Well, all he did the whole evening was talk about his farm and horses... Oh, yes, and his bulldozer.
Well, didn't he even dance with you?
Only to show me how the bulldozer works. Look, Dick, Jimmy wants me to go out with him again, and honestly, I just don't know how to break it to him. I mean...
In February.
Oh, no.
Because he's here.
Oh, dear.
Oh, Dick, I can't face him. Will you give him this note? Yeah. He'll understand.
Yes, yes, I will, yes.
Ah, Bentley, was that my June I saw belting round behind the brass section?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I'm glad she's gone anyway. I wanted to tell you about the token of love I sent her on February the 14th.
Of love?
Yes, Bentley.
Jimmy, a word of advice. Don't cross your bridges before they're hatched.
No. What a lovely thing she is, Bentley. Mm. It's so refreshing these days to meet a girl who's really interested in swine fever.
Yeah. You're sure she was interested, Jim?
Well, I talked to her about it for 4 hours. And when she listens, Bentley, she's got a cute little trick of closing her eyes and letting her chin sink onto her chest.
Yes. Well, did she enjoy the food, then?
Oh, she tucked into it in great style. That is, until I started talking about swine fever. Then she just pushed her plate away from her. Obviously too fascinated to eat.
Yes, it so fascinated me, I doubt whether I'll eat for a week. Look, Jimmy, before you make any plans for the next dinner together, I've got a message from June in my pocket
for
you.
A message?
Yes.
Oh, is it written in her hand?
No, it's written on a bit of paper. Here you are, Jim, now read it. I won't look.
All right, show me, I'll turn me back.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, well, what a funny girl.
What's up, Jim?
Well, why should she send this back to me? I sent it to her. I wanted her to have it.
Is it the Valentine?
No, it's the bill for the dinner.
Oh. Though you say our love could only be here today, but soon a memory string along. Give me the right to be wrong. Though you've been burned by the flame of love, trust in me, stay in the game of love. String along, give me the right to be wrong. If you never know my love, never take a chance. How are we to know, my love, if it's true? Romance, take my hand, take all there is of me. Understand, I'm yours eternally. String along, give me the right to be wrong. If you never know, my love, never take a chance. Then how are you to know, my love, if it's true? Romance, take my hand, take all there is of me. Understand, I'm yours eternally. String along, give me the right to be wrong.
Ah, watch it, Jim. I've just been looking round the furriers for one of them new platinum mink capes with the white satin lining. The missus wants something warm to slip on when she goes out to the dustbin.
Well, 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 it's immensely wealthy, Wal.
Yeah.
A lot of your money must go on your wife's wardrobe, Wal.
Well, I've got some up there, Jim, but most of it's under the floorboards.
But listen, Wal, even though your wife has suddenly found herself with a fortune to spend on clothes, has she still got the figure for it?
Ah, that's a snag, Jim. We waited so long for our ship to come in, her jetty collapsed. What? But she's putting up a fight, Jim. Goes along every morning to a beauty shop and has a farcical. Isn't that facial? Not with her fizzog. Oh, you should see the palaver, Jim. Every night she has to go to bed with a mud pack plastered all over her. Core, it's like sleeping next to a swamp. Twice a day, she has a luxury beauty bath in the most expensive liquid money can buy.
Oh, champagne?
Champagne, nothing. Hot tea.
Sure, lummy, and after all we've been doing to keep the prices down, tell him about it, Dunners.
Certainly, sir. Well, it started when we read about that motor trader who was ticked off for cutting his prices. He promptly hoisted the Jolly Roger. Well, sir, we thought this nautical touch was so typically British, we've carried it a stage further. We therefore present a selection of sea songs specially modified for the use of price-conscious housewives.
I'll sing thee a song of the fish of the sea.
Hey-ho, keep the price down.
A mouthful of haddock now costs 1 and 3.
So let's get together and keep the price down.
I told my fishmonger he ought to be shot.
Hey-ho, shoot the man down.
That dab on the slab cost me all that I've got.
So let's get together and keep the price down. There is a butcher in the town, in the town, whose stewing steak is half a crown and a pound of bangers. Cost us 1 and 10. We're never going there again.
Shall I pour a cup of water all away, you tempting tea leaf, at every store to bob a quarter? Gone away, my cup of chalk, from now on, it's cocoa.
What shall we do with the blinking grocer, blaming all the prices on Formosa? Shove him back his coffee and say no, sir. Issue him a warning. 1 and 2 pilchard smacks of jobbery. Selling him a sardine's just plain snobbery. 1 and 3 for raisins, highway robbery. Oh, what times we've borne him.
Way-ho, what go prices? Oh, no. Look what prices, what? Oh, another crisis.
Everybody behind Jim for a march on Downing Street. First thing tomorrow.
A lie in the morning.
Tithe's talking point. Once more we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary people living life bravely. Today their talking point is, should you do unto others before they do unto you? So, over to the Glums.
Oh, Ron, isn't it exciting? Your mum coming downstairs for the first time since she broke her poor leg. Oh, you must be bubbling over with excitement, Ron.
Yes, eh?
Have you finished painting the welcome sign, Ron?
Yes, eh? Look, it says, welcome down, moth.
Moth, Ron?
I came to the edge of the card, eh? I didn't have room for the
Oh, what a shame. But it's not the words on the card that matter, Ron. It's what's behind it.
What's behind it is labour exchange. No spitting.
Oh, no, I meant the thought, that's wrong. Oh, I must say, you and your dad have made the room look a picture for your mum. The net curtains are so clean, I went right past the house. Did you take them to the laundryette, Ron?
No, Eth. I've been barred from the laundryette.
Oh, Ron, what for?
The manager called it persistently peeping into the next lady's little round window.
Well, I can't get over how nice you've made the room, Ron. Mm. It looks so much more spacious without Mr. Glum's motorbike. Oh, I'm proud of you, Ron. It only goes to show what I've always told you. If you really want to do something, you can do it, Ron.
Right, are we?
Oh, no.
Just a kiss now.
I didn't mean that.
Well, we'll have to have a little kiss now, please.
Oh, hello. Oh, we're all feeling a bit larky tonight, ain't we? Ron, where'd you put your cod liver oil and malt? I've got a bit of air sticking up the back here, just won't brush down.
Oh, you do look smart, Mr. Glum.
Thank you very much, Seth. Very kind of you to say so. It's in honour of my dear wife's come down. And the room looks nice, doesn't it?
Mm,
I took a lot of...
Yes.
Ron, I told you about leaving your muddy football boots in the fruit bowl. You know perfectly well where they go. With my gardening fork in the linen cupboard, please.
Right-o, Dad. Dad, you haven't noticed the sign I hung up to welcome Mum?
Oh, yes. What's it say? Where's me glasses? I always have them in the wrong pocket. Ah. Oh, Ron, I think that's rather uncalled for. No spitting.
Oh, Ron, turn it round the right side.
No, second thoughts, better leave it. Uncle Charlie said he might pop in. Well, now, I think we're all ready for her ladyship's descent.
Oh, yes.
Just let me give a last plump up to the cushions. Oh, dear. We must get these loose covers cleaned. I meant to do it after the war. Oh, but you remember how prices went up during the 1920s? Well... Well, here we are, then. Let's call her down, eh?
Yes.
Oh, don't you think you should go up and help Mrs. Glum down, Mr. Glum? She's bound to be a bit weak.
What, her? Weak? Not her. Constitution like an ox.
Oh.
Mark my words, if before the evening's out, she'll be dancing the okey-cokey.
Go on, Dad. Call Mum.
Shall I call her, then?
Call
Righto.
Me.
Right, then. Oi! Dot and carry one! Get down them stairs! Of course you can, you silly old A-bag. Just take it slowly, step by step. When you get to the motorbike on the landing, walk round it. Well, step over it, you old idiot. Step over it, I said. Oh, lummy, I better go and have a look. If she's buckled them mudguards, I'll get... Oh, dear. All right. You know, I said she'd be dancing.
Yes.
She's got her right leg out and she's shaking it about.
My car will meet her and the mother comes too. It's a two-seater, still her mother comes too. At Ciro's when I'm free, at dinner, supper, a tea, she loves to shimmy with me.
And my mother does
do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We buy her two sous, and the mother comes too. Has got to do so, still her mother comes too. She simply can't take a snub. I go and sulk at my club, then have a bath and a rub.
Lunch at Maxim's and my mother comes too. How large a snack seems when my mother comes too.
And when they're visiting me, we finish afternoon tea.
I love to sit on his knee,
but your mother does too.
To golf we started, and the mother came too.
Three bags I carted,
when the mother came too. She fainted just off the tee, my darling whispered to me,
Jack dear, at last we are free.
Oh no, she's an old-fashioned lady with new-fashioned ways. Yes, her mother,
good old mom,
she came too.
Three more brandies and soda, please. And I say, Bentley, extraordinary number of convicts seem to be escaping these days, don't they?
Yes, yes, I've noticed that, Your Grace. They seem to be popping out like Your Grace's boiled shirt front.
Oh, yes, much obliged.
Not at all.
That's it. Tuck it back in, Your Gracie.
Yes, but tell me, Edwards, why do convicts escape?
Well, Your Grace, we do know of one story which... It's out again.
Oh, much obliged.
Just hold your breath for 15 minutes, Your Grace, and we'll tell you an escape story.
The scene is a lonely cottage 3 miles from Dartmoor Prison. Outside, a damp mist is swirling over the moor. But inside, Theobald Edwards, a kindly old naturalist, sits by the fire crocheting a butterfly net. His daughter, Valerie, however, is peering nervously out of the window.
Oh, Daddy, I don't know. I'm all on edge tonight. Just now, across the moors, I heard something. It sounded like a bloodhound baying.
Don't be nervous, my dear. This escaped convict, Ginger Baxter, he's more to be pitied than feared. Wouldn't you be glad of pity if you erred?
If I what, Daddy?
You erred. If you're worried, my dear daughter, go out and make sure the back gate's bolted.
Yes, all right, Daddy. Oh, dear. If I'd realized how dark it is out here, I'd have... Oh, what's that? It's a man hanging upside down in midair. Oh, no, it's Daddy's comms on the line. Oh, dear, I do wish that I had...
Don't move or I'll do it for you.
Who are you? Why are you crouching on top of the chicken house?
Shh, I'm on the run.
Hey, listen, I'm hungry, I'm cold, I'm desperate, and there's a bullet pecking at me crouch end.
Why, you're Ginger Baxter.
Quiet, you little fool. You want that bloodhound to get me? Come on, take me inside the house.
Ah, there you are, Valerie. Bless my soul, child. I don't want to pry, my dear, but did you know there's a ginger convict hiding behind you? You're from Dartmoor Prison, aren't you, lad?
Not anymore. I resigned this morning. Hid in a laundry basket and got clean away. Now I'm going to stay here.
Here?
Till I can grow a moustache. That'll take me to Exmouth.
10 months to grow a moustache?
Not Xmas, Xmouth. They're never going to get me back in there, see? So keep away from that phone. I don't want any funny stuff.
You haven't gotten me to judge from that Xmouth gag.
7 years they set me up for. 7 years. For something I didn't do.
What didn't you do?
Didn't wipe me fingerprints off a safe. I've been on the run. All day.
Oh, he's collapsed. Oh, Daddy, while he's on the floor, now's our chance to ring the police.
No, child.
Oh, but, Daddy, it's our duty as citizens to turn him over.
No, he looks better face down. poor hunted creature. What he must have been through. The pigsty for a start.
Oh, help. Help me, please help. I'm hungry. Hungry and exhausted. Give me that chair.
No, don't eat that. Here, this'll get your strength back. A nice bit of cheese.
Give it here. Wait a minute. Is this a trap?
Yes, but you can easily get the cheese out. Sit and eat your fill, boy.
Oh, Daddy, Daddy, are you mad? We can't shelter a wanted man.
My dear daughter, you know my philosophy. If we can find room in our bosom for charity, then we can find room in our coal hole for ginger. I'm just a simple naturalist quietly hunting bugs.
Did Bugs get away too? Well, good for him. Here, Gov. Gov, you mean you will hide me? Even though I'm a no-good...
Lad, I've said it before and I'll say it again. No man who wants to grow a moustache can be wholly bad. Now, nip into the coal hole and have a good night's sleep.
As day followed day, I found my feelings towards him changing.
Oh, Miss Valerie, you shouldn't bother to come all the way down to the coal hole with my rice pudding. All you need do is empty it down the chute.
I am only carrying out my father's wishes.
Miss Valerie, I do wish you liked me a bit.
Oh, but I do like you, Ginger. I don't want to like you, but I do. Especially now you've grown a moustache.
I feel the same about you, miss.
That's a smear of coal dust. Oh, Ginger, what made you crooked? Why did you steal that £240,000?
I was hungry.
But don't you see, it was wrong, Ginger. It was wrong. Wasn't there anyone to guide you? Had you no parents?
Only two.
But didn't they teach you right from wrong? What did your father say when you got sent to Dartmoor?
Just, "Hello, Ginger."
Oh, you poor boy. You never had a chance, did you? Oh, Ginger, whatever happens, I want you to remember this. You're not alone anymore.
Ginger, Ginger, bad news. Oh. The police are making a house-to-house search.
Cool.
Quick, lad, up the coal chute.
But where do I go? What do
quick,
I do?
Quick, at a time like this, it's shoot first, ask questions afterwards.
No, I'm not going.
Not going?
Ginger, you're balmy.
I'm going to stay here and take my medicine.
Oh, lad, those pimples will clear up without your taking any medicine.
No, go. You see, Gav, a man does a lot of thinking when he's sitting in a coal hole eating rice pudding.
You mean you realize that life is more than just saving your skin?
No, I never eat the skin. What I realized was, well, I may run away from prison, but I can't run away from myself.
I'm glad you found that out, Ginger. No man can keep running forever. We'll keep a light burning in the window to welcome your return.
Remember what I vowed, Ginger? I'll wait for you, even if you're away 20 years. I'll be waiting at the gate when you come out.
Thank you, Miss Valerie. But if it is 20 years, don't bother. I'll be requiring a younger woman. And now I must go and find the prison governor. Ask him whether he'll take me back. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
No cause for tears, my dear. Just rejoice that we have preserved Ginger.
Oh, Daddy. Daddy, he is good, really, isn't he?
He is, my little daughter, yes. It's just that, prison life has twisted him. Your mother used to say, a man often gets bitter in a jug. And barmaids know. He found himself, my dear. I was but a humble instrument, a euphonium in the orchestra of life.
Oh, dear Daddy, you're so wise and kind.
No. Well, perhaps I am. But a good judge of men. Let us light the candle in the window now, so that its light may serve as a symbol to Ginger as he wends his way across the moor. Use the silver candlesticks.
All right, Daddy. Daddy, Where are the silver candlesticks?
Where are the... It's that thieving ginger. Come back, you curly-headed chief. Get the bloodhounds on him. After him.
Harriet, a bit of wits of the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards. Encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield and the keynotes, the announcer was David Dunhill. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...